Hi everyone, I'm Heather Markell and welcome to another episode of the Inspired Nomads series. We are talking about what happens when you leave stability to go travel the world. And so far, I have had so much fun interviewing a number of guests. Today we have Catherine Potroff, and I'm very excited. She's going to present to us a slightly different angle of the whole traveling and working and all that scenario. So I'm very excited to hear from her. I am coming to you still from Argentina, drinking my mate or yerba mate. So I'm very excited. So Catherine, welcome. Thank you so much. Another thing that's really cool, Catherine, you and I are both graduates from George Washington University. So, yeah. And so coincidentally, you're the second person that I've talked to who's an alumni of GW. So shout out to them. Shout out to you. And Catherine, I know you're from originally the West Coast. Is that right?
No, I'm from Toronto, Canada.
That's right. Okay. Well, that's west. west of New York. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
And where are you coming to us from today?
Today I am sitting in a Starbucks in Kingston, Ontario, because I've been staying at my cottage for the last couple of weeks, and there's good internet connection here, so it works.
Love it. Well, thank you. I know you made an effort to journey over there, so thank you for doing that for us. So, Catherine, I always like to start out by asking, what is the stability that you ended up leaving to go travel?
I started my own business 35 years ago, and basically I have been teaching and consulting in project management. So I've had a number of corporate clients, and I've taught for a number of universities and corporations all over North America. I've done a little bit of global teaching in the Middle East. But so my business was fairly stable and my income was pretty solid. I had bought a house in a suburb of Toronto, and you know, I had moved into an area that I'd been there about 2 years, and I was sitting at my desk one day thinking, I have this massive mortgage and there's nothing wrong with the house, but I'm not really thrilled with the neighborhood. My friends all live a half an hour away. I've been doing the same work forever. I'm bored. I need to shake my life up.
Wow. And I think you're going to go into the story of how you like shook your life up. So yeah, tell us.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, and picture this. I'm sitting in one of the bedrooms in my office, in my sweats, looking out over a park. And I'm just on the computer and thinking, this is way too boring. So I thought, I'll go on a singles cruise. Had no intention of going, no interest in going, but was looking for something different. So I spent about 5 or 10 minutes cruising. And then this website popped up and I looked at it. And it was basically an invitation to go nomadic with a group of 30 to 35 people. And I thought, oh yeah. I'm doing this. Within 10 seconds, I knew I was doing it. And so I immediately applied to the program. And as soon as I was accepted, I put my house on the market, closed down my business, and then my house didn't sell for 10 months.
Wow.
So I had a mortgage and no income, but I was so sure that it was the right thing for me to do that, you know, when I sold the house, I paid the bills. Paid for my trip and took off.
Do you, before that, were you likely to make like quick decisions like that? Or was that really just a life coming to a head, or how would you describe it?
It was time for me to go and have some fun. And I wanted to work. I've always been very focused on work. So totally giving up work wasn't going to work for me. But the idea of traveling the world and working just resonated with me on such a deep level that I knew almost instantly that I was going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So it sounds like the reasons that you left were just, you know, you were bored, you wanted something new and different and to shake up your life. Were there any other reasons that you're just like, I got to get out of this and into something else?
My age. I have always wanted to travel and have never done that. And I looked at it and I thought, I'm 64. If I don't go now, when am I going to go? Like, what am I waiting for?
Yeah.
So, you know, most people who are 64 aren't of that mindset. But for me, I've always been active. I go to the gym regularly. I love trying new things. So it just made sense on so many levels.
That's great. And when you actually started your journey, I think you somewhat answered the question, but what was your goal, or what were your, you know, obviously I know that you wanted to shake up your life, but did you kind of think at the end of this, I'm hoping I have X or this experience or anything like that?
I really didn't have any big goals. I just wanted to go see the world, meet a bunch of different people, do something different. And I knew that if I stayed in Canada and, you know, just kept life as it was, I would continue to work ridiculous hours and nothing would change. So by cashing it all in and going someplace totally new, I picked Asia. To go to Asia for 4 months when you don't know anyone there, you don't speak the language, you don't have a clue, I knew it was going to be pretty life-altering.
Yeah.
What I didn't know was how it was going to change me.
How do you think it changed you?
You know, it's really interesting because since I've been back, people that I've known for years have come to me and said, "You're just a totally different person now." And I kind of look at them and say, "No, the core's still who I am." And they said, "Yes, but you're happy. You have a different outlook. You're willing to do different things." It really, being exposed to the world opened me up to being exposed to my own country as well. So things like going to art galleries, things like that. I never did a lot of that at home. I did as a child, but not recently. Now I'll just kick off and do something by myself and I don't even think about it.
So, are there any specific, events, opportunities, things that happened while you were traveling that you think are part of that transformation that you went through?
Just exposures to different people, different cultures, different experiences. I sort of found myself when I was traveling. I discovered, you know, there's so much to be happy and grateful about that happiness and gratefulness became really important in my life. So now when I look at things, you know, I came back and since I had virtually closed down my business, a lot of my clients disappeared and I had to rethink what am I going to do now to, you know, to make some money. And the very first thing in my head was I would rather starve and not work and be happy than grind it out in a 9-to-5 that I hate. And so for me, happiness is now the number one priority in everything. So if it doesn't make me happy, it's not gonna happen.
That's just so beautiful because actually another of the interviews that I had, we talked about the same thing, like the idea of working for happiness rather than working for retirement. And I think for someone that's working for retirement, it's kind of hard to think about, well, oh, gee, that sounds lovely. That's a pot dream, working for happiness. You know, where are you coming from? What would you say to someone that thinks that, you know, that you're hogwash to working for happiness?
Well, first of all, I think many people equate happiness with having lots of money. That's not necessarily a truth for me anymore. I met people who, well, as an example, in one of the refugee camps that I visited, someone loaned someone a needle, you know, so that she could sew a hem on her pants. And that woman was so thankful to have someone loan her a needle for 2 hours.
Wow.
You know, when you think about that kind of scenario, all of a sudden you realize, my gosh, I've got so much stuff and I don't need it.
Yeah.
And the stuff doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
But loaning a needle to somebody who really, really needs it, and really, really appreciates something as simple as that, changes your whole idea of what happiness is about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you may think that you need $1 million to retire. I don't need to be eating in restaurants that cost $300 for a meal.
Yeah.
And I can still eat very healthy food for a very reasonable cost. So it's, you know, it's like, how do you manage your time? How do you manage your money? It's all about what's your priority.
Yeah.
And what identify what your priorities are, your choices change.
I think that's so beautiful. And I think that's so important. It's a topic that I think is coming up more and more. And I you know, if you grew up in Canada, I don't know if it's the same as growing up in the US, especially the East Coast. I mean, we're certainly conditioned to work, get as much money as we can. And then finally, we're supposed to retire. And then we can have fun. Of course, unfortunately, not knowing what the world will be like then, or your health or any of the other things, and jobs are no longer really secure anyway. And then seeing, I think many of us who travel, especially more importantly, internationally, and especially to places we've never been, like Asia, or I'm now in South America, you just are exposed to people living with much less than we have. And yet they're still happy. And then I think as you participate in life with them and you realize, wow, like I don't know how it was for you, but I'm traveling with the same clothes and the same, in fact, I have to like periodically offload stuff. And, you know, I just don't seem to need all the stuff that, you know, that I had in my closets back home. So, but I'm still happy.
Actually, you need one good business suit or maybe two good business suits in case you have to do an interview or something like that.
Yeah.
And the rest of it, it's all about, you know, comfort. So sweatpants and t-shirts. And by the way, you can look really good in sweatpants and t-shirt. I'm not advocating sloppy wardrobe, but what I'm saying is you don't need to be wearing $1,000 suit to look or feel good.
Right.
It really, and when all your friends are all wearing the same kind of casual attire, there is no need to be dressing super expensively all the time.
So you went off and joined a group of 30 plus people that you didn't know in countries you had no exposure to. What were some of the maybe fears you had going into the experience, and what were some of the things that you learned that made you not be afraid anymore?
You know, I didn't have a lot of fear. I'm very adventurous, very self-reliant. So, you know, when the group I was traveling with said to me, well, you need to get on a plane and fly to Hanoi, and when you get to Hanoi, jump. See, and here's where you're staying. And I'm thinking, oh, really? Well, you know, I'm the one that wanted to step out of my comfort zone, try something new. And when the taxi driver dropped me at the curb and I couldn't find the hotel or the apartment I was supposed to be staying in, but there was an alleyway, I dragged my suitcase down the alleyway and I thought, is this really smart? You know, you don't speak the language, you don't know where you're going. You've been up for 20 hours. Here you are wandering around looking for a place. And the voice inside me said, aren't you the one that wanted adventure? Like, suck it up, princess, and let's go. You know, I'm the first to admit that not everyone could handle that. But for me, that was, you know, part of what I signed up for. So was I afraid? No, not really. You know, nothing that a credit card can't fix. If you don't find your apartment, rent a hotel for the night, call some people. You know, it really wasn't that threatening.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's wonderful. And so were you in your case, were you making money while you were traveling? Did you decide to just sort of, you know, see the world around you, do both? What was the experience like?
You know, part of my career goals changed because I'm getting older. I'm 64. Most people want to retire. For me, I don't want to retire. I just love working. I love the experiences it brings to me. But my business model is changing because I've decided that I want to have multiple streams of income, but all of them have to be things that I enjoy. So I came back, and I've been home now about 7 months, and I just got a full-time job as a college professor, but my definition of what a job looks like is so different now. There has to be flexibility. One of the big perks is I get 9.5 weeks paid vacation that I have to take all at once. Guess what I'm doing with the 9.5 weeks?
Traveling?
Duh. Like, I'm not going to work if I can't travel.
Right.
And I'm putting some courses online. I'm starting to write for publications so I can make some money doing that. I intend to do some public speaking. There's, you know, I would like to have 4 or 5 different ways of making money.
I love it. And something about what you said also pops out to me. I mean, so for those of us also, like even in our 40s, right, we're afraid sometimes to take this plunge because, oh my God, will I be able to get a job when I come back? And I think, of course, for many of us, we go, we travel, we like it, we keep going and realize, oh, if I get a job, well, first off, if I'm ever back, and then if I am, will that job look like exactly the one that I had before? So there's a lot of change, I think, that happens. But how amazing and wonderful that, you know, that you were able to have your experience and then find some sort of work, not just that made you happy, but in your paradigm. And I'm curious, what was the experience of looking for the work like for you?
I basically went on the internet and started applying for jobs that I thought I could do. And just as an example, I mean, I've taught at universities all across the country, throughout the states, things like that. So it's not as though, I mean, I know what my skill sets are. I know what my brain power is. But you have to be willing to be flexible. So when I came back and had no income. Now I have money in the bank from selling the house, but not enough to retire on. So I called up one of my best friends and said, can I stay with you? You've got a 4-bedroom house. There's 2 of you living there. Do you think this would work? And she said, sure, can you move in tomorrow?
Yeah. Wow.
So I did. And she realized that, you know, I was going to be sort of reorienting myself. So I needed some money and I didn't want to deplete all of my life savings. So I went and got a part-time job at a big box store. So 20 hours a week for minimum wage. And it was great. It was absolutely a ton of fun because everybody who worked there was my age or older. And, you know, oh, I have a hangnail. Well, go talk to the physician that's working over in blinds. Or, you know, go talk to the accountant that's working in flooring. So it was kind of a no-brainer job, and I actually really enjoyed it. And I didn't need a lot of money because I was basically just contributing to groceries and some bills. And, you know, the other 20 hours a week I spent trying to figure out what I wanted to do. So I had a few interviews over the 7 months since then, and landed this job that I think I'm really going to love. But you know, I would not have taken a job that I wasn't going to really love. Because happiness is the priority.
Yeah, and I love the. I mean, I'm just thinking of anyone out there that at any age, right? But especially if we're mid-career and you know from there. You know, thinking about the fear of will I be able to work after I'm back? And I mean, I feel like your experience is like, well, be the same experience for anyone. You left and then you go apply for a job and you figure out what you like and you get one.
I think too that your mindset is so critical. This is something, you know, that traveling around and trying different things taught me was you can look at things and say, this is horrible. Or you can look at it and say, I wonder what opportunities this is going to bring.
Yes.
During my interview, the dean of the college said to me, you're 64. At your age, most people just want to pack it in. Why do you want to work? And my response was, I have a ton of knowledge. I have very broad experience. I love working with young people. I have a ton to offer. Wouldn't it be selfish if I just put that all in my back pocket and didn't work when I actually want to be out there interacting? So, you know, this is going to make me happy. You know, age is obviously a consideration if you're trying to get hired at 64 for a brand new job. But I was very clear that, you know, my health is good, my mind is good, I've got more energy than most 35-year-olds. Why would I quit? You know, like, you tell me, does it make sense? I think when you're looking for a job, you really have to know who you are and what you want, and then just present it.
And do you think you would have gotten this job if you hadn't gone and thrown everything up in the air and traveled?
Probably not. I would have continued to coast in a job where I was making, or in a business where I was making good money and doing different things. And I wouldn't have been as happy as I'm going to be in this job.
Yeah. I just find your experience amazing, honestly, really inspiring that, you know, you kind of followed your whole being into doing something that you knew in the moment, you felt viscerally that, you know, you have to do this. You did it, you went in with a sense of adventure. You changed as a person and came back and you still have that same sense of you, but stronger. And now that it's helped you create a whole new paradigm for yourself where you're wrapping your life around what you want rather than sort of letting, you know, what you want be extinguished by the life that you had.
Yes, the dog is wagging the tail. It's a good way to put it. Are you, you know, is the tail wagging the dog or are you wagging the tail?
Yeah. I think that your experience is going to be very meaningful for a lot of other people because especially for anyone that's worried about, it's so funny, it's sort of rather than worrying about will you get a job, it's you should worry about is the life you have now, the one that you want, is the work you have now really satisfying? And if you don't, are you going to spend the rest of your life doing that or do you want to actually try to, you know, get more in touch with yourself so you can come back and completely ramp up, not just your job, because it's really not, is it? It's really not just about your job. It's about you. Yeah.
And my friends who, you know, these are people that I'm very close to, that I love. My friends are saying to me, your life is just so darn fascinating. You do so many things that are interesting.
Yes.
And I will say the friends that I met while I'm traveling are very strongly connected. And, you know, I get an email from someone saying there's 5 of us meeting in Chicago the last weekend in June. And I'm writing back saying I'm in. You know, it's kind of, I want to stay in touch with these people. They're important to me.
Yeah.
So it's all about, What are your priorities? What are you going to do to make it happen?
So beautiful. If somebody were listening to this interview right now, what is a tip, piece of advice or guidance that you would offer if they're kind of like on the fence about, you know, jumping off the cliff and going and traveling and leaving the stability behind?
Well, I guess it depends on the individual, doesn't it? How much traveling have you done? How important is it to you? my life was pretty easy to pack up and leave because I'm single, I don't have children. For me, it was selling a house and closing down a business. Now, because I'm very entrepreneurial, closing the business didn't seem to be a problem because I'll just start another business.
Yeah.
And I came up with several ideas of businesses that I could start now. So if someone's on the fence about it, I think they really need to think about who they are and what they want. This is really about self-reflection and making decisions that are right for you.
Yeah.
And maybe traveling the world and going to exotic places and meeting fascinating people isn't any interest to you. Mm. You know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
I will say that the people that I met when I was traveling are probably happier, more resilient, more resourceful, and more considerate of others than most people I know. Because when you are in the 9-to-5 grind, you have pressures that prevent you from being who you really are.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you get away from that and you start to uncover who you are, then you really get in touch with what's important.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And would you do another, you're going to travel for 9 weeks. I guess you're going to just go for the whole 9 weeks.
Probably. Yeah. I'll probably take, maybe 8 weeks so that I have a half a week before and a half a week after.
Yeah.
but basically, yes, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And I never want to have a mortgage again. I'm going to rent, and I have a cottage that is free and clear. So, I'm not spending all my money on rent. I'm banking some, and I'm going to fix my cottage so that I can go and stay there and love it.
That's beautiful.
And once I get all the remote work skills that I need, then I can just go sit at the cottage and work there.
Yeah. So I feel like today we've talked a lot about flexibility, something that came to you, extra flexibility from this experience that you had, and how it, when you use the flexibility in your life, you can completely recreate that life. What I see in you is like, you're no holds barred now. You're like, I know who I am. I know what I want. And it's very easy for you now in that, if this opportunity, this person, this work situation fits into what I want, fabulous. And if not, chuck it, next.
Exactly.
So, yep.
You don't have to solve all these problems instantly.
Yes.
You don't have to answer all the questions today. And I think if you listen to that inner voice, it becomes much clearer what you want to look for.
Actually, that's another really good point, because I'm thinking for someone listening, I think I've spoken to a lot of people. I know myself, before I left, I planned everything out and I needed to know I'm here and I'm going here and I need to know exactly what's going to happen when I get there. And I wanted to have some sort of plan for exactly what would happen to me and my life if I did this. And it was only when I was willing to say, I don't know, and I'm okay with not knowing, that I was able to do all of these things. And I think that's right. Got to let go of that knowledge of every moment for the future.
Think about your life as something the size of a ping pong ball. And when you're demanding that you need to know everything out there, it's really a mistake, because you have no way of comprehending what's available to you when you're out there.
Yes.
So how can you make decisions when you have less than 1% of the information that's available? So if you go out with an open mind and say, I am this kind of person, this is what's important to me, open your eyes up and look around, and you will find things that are beyond your wildest dreams.
Wow.
So, if you are someone who's a control freak that has to have everything lined up alphabetically, you're going to miss a lot.
Yeah.
So much better if you open your mind up and ask for the things that you want and let them come into your life.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about the law of attraction, but when you are open to the possibilities, amazing things show up.
Yeah.
So if you try to organize everything, you're not going to do nearly as well.
Did you just distinguish between the law of attraction and opportunities?
The two are opposite sides of the same coin.
I love that.
If you try to plan everything out, what you're really doing is planning to exclude a lot of great opportunities.
Okay.
But when you say, this is who I am, these are my values, this is what I think I'd like, and then say, okay, show me what's out there and watch what shows up.
Yeah.
Then you can start to pick one little piece at a time of the things you like. And, you know, before too long, you put together a life that you really love. That's really interesting. As opposed to trying to find everything.
You're not the first person I've spoken to that I get the impression. I know for myself and for other people I've met, there's something about traveling, and maybe it's actually getting into this mindset that you've just perfectly stated. Things start showing up. The things that you want start showing up, and you notice them showing up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, yes, planning for the things that make sense, that are basics, like I wouldn't go to a third world country without getting vaccinations.
Yeah.
You take care of the details that are going to make things run smoothly, but you don't plan everything to the nth degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what happens if when you land in your chosen destination, a wonderful opportunity comes up that you're going to get to go and do something that you didn't know about before? Or are you going to look at your calendar and say, oh no, I can't go do this wonderful thing because in my plan I said I was going to do blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So planning is good to a certain extent, but after that it gets in the way.
Yes. Oh, beautiful. So any last comment or tip for anyone that's listening about why they should take the plunge and go for it if they think they might want to?
Look at your life and see if you can make it happen, because going and doing something like this will change how you think, it'll change how you feel. And you'll come back with a whole pile of new friends and a set of global connections. It's really worth doing.
I love it. Cool. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for talking with me today and sharing your expertise. If somebody were listening and wanted to reach out to you and maybe ask you some questions, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can email me at Catherine. It's KATHRYN, Catherine at PotruffConsulting.com. So my last name is POTTRUFF Consulting.com. So my email is Catherine at PotruffConsulting.com.
Perfect. And I'll be writing that at the bottom so everyone will be able to read it too. Very cool.
Okay, great.
So thank you again. And for anyone listening, hopefully you found this to be of inspiration. If you did, please feel free to pass it on to someone that you think needs to hear the messages that we've talked about today. Also, I am looking for you to join us and be on the show. So if you are someone that is mid-career, so ideally over 40, and you have left something stable income, however that can be defined multiple ways, and you have gone on a life of travel, and you have been at it at least 3 months, ideally 6 months or more. You could still be traveling, or you could be back from that experience. I would love to talk to you. So you might be the person listening right here, and that's you, or you might know someone. Either way, if you would like to apply to be on the show, you can do that at www.interviewquestionnaire.com, like it's spelled below. And I would love to, if you fill out an application, I will get in touch with you. We'll set up a Zoom meeting like this, or if we happen to be in the same country and city at the same time, then of course I would love to meet up with you and do a live interview. Also, if you liked the interview and you have any questions at all that you'd like to see answered in a future episode, please feel free to email me at heather@heathermarkell.com and let me know. And until the next video, thank you so much for listening and talk soon. Bye-bye.